So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I ask you, I beg of you right now to let your minds wander. Wander specifically to your physical wants. You have my permission, you have my enthusiastic encouragement to let yourself feel hungry and thirsty right now. Just for a while. Just for a while. So much so that your stomach is all you can think about. Now, to guide you on this journey into the world of digestive juices, let me give you a couple of mental images. If you cut the grass on a hot summer day, beats shoveling snow, doesn't it? If you do that, you get tired and sweaty and thirsty. Oh, so thirsty. Right after mowing is the most robust thirst I can recall. The time when a big cold glass of water or lemonade or something is all I want. Glass after glass after glass. At least I didn't say can after can after can. Or for you non-mowers. 4 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. And many of us grew up with the custom of eating ham on Easter. Remember how you feel about 90 minutes after the Easter dinner? Like your throat has been swabbed with cotton? Like you can't guzzle down enough of just about any liquid in sight? Well, our souls are just that thirsty. Thirsty for meaning, for purpose, for hope, for love. That is why Jesus, in the simple act of expressing his desire for a drink of water, struck such a deep wellspring in the Samaritan woman. She got it pretty quickly that he was talking about her deepest spiritual needs, our deepest spiritual needs, everyone's deepest spiritual needs. See there, I've already started interpreting this text for you. I've already put the cart before the horse, in a sense. You don't even know for sure all the details, and yet I'm telling you what they mean. I've already given you my commentary when I'm not sure we've dealt with the factual details enough. All of the Gospels, the four of them that were handed on to us, do the very same thing. They're like newspapers. I realize that's an outmoded concept in and of itself. But they're like newspapers, except in the Gospels, there's no clear demarcation between the news page and the editorial page. The Gospel writers are continually telling us factual details about what happened in the life of Jesus, and simultaneously are giving us opinions and even sermonic interpretations on the meaning of those details. And none of the four of the Gospels does that more than the Gospel of John, the Gospel that is given to us in mid-Lent today. John's Gospel does have a lot of overlap with the other three, but it also is different, different in tone. You can just tell. The stories of Luke and Matthew begin the whole narrative about Jesus with the very sweet and earthy stories of shepherds abiding in the field and the babe lying in a manger. By contrast, John begins with the sweeping, cosmic pronouncement that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, there are several undisputable biographical human touches in today's story. Lacking a bucket, a canteen, a ladle, anything, Jesus asks a Samaritan woman for a very simple thing. Give me a drink. Now, it would have been so commonplace to be thirsty in a hot, dry land like Jesus lived in that a story that was only about his dry mouth would hardly have been written down 40 or 50 years later. But you know it. We don't even get to the meaning of this story or to any of its depths if we stop at the literal surface level of this story. Remember, this is an editorial John is writing for us. Editorials concern themselves not with just what happened on the surface, but with the meaning of what happened on the surface. We've often heard, for instance, that the way Jesus treated women was revolutionary for his time. Frankly, it has always seemed sort of ridiculous to me that anyone ever thought women are weaker. Not the women in my home, not the woman I'm married to, not the women I know. Yet, in many civilizations, including those in the Middle East Semitic world of Jesus, women were looked upon as inferior. Many, alas, still are. But Jesus changed all that. Jesus talked to them. Jesus sought them out. Jesus listened to them because he knew that women have much to say of substance, of spirit, of sense. This story would be memorable then enough if it were only about the fact that Jesus talked to this woman at the well. But then she was not even a Jewish woman to boot. She was half Jew, half Gentile. She would have been unacceptable in either of the worlds her parents came from. No wonder the African-American slaves in this country knew that sweet Jesus was their friend, their savior, their deliverer. For Jesus pretty clearly did not know or care anything much about people's racial pedigree. Now, the story could stop right here. And there's more than enough for you and me to chew on for the rest of our Christian journey. Well, we know that the one who wants to follow Jesus, or claims to follow Jesus, is impelled to seek out the powerless and the shunned, just as Jesus himself did. I once read a theologian who said that we Christians must get our directions straight, in a sense. The thrust of the gospel is not so much that we reach up, or even that we reach out, but that we reach down. Whatsoever you did to one of the least of these, you did to me. But today's gospel story is about more than injustice, as much as this child of the 60s would love to ride that hobby horse. Because this is also a Lenten word to you and me of invitation. The church for hundreds of years has placed this reading in the center of our Lenten observance, just as it is today. For you and I are called to bring our spiritual dryness to the Master. Probably the most common uses of the terms hunger and thirst in the story of Jesus are familiar to us. They're in the Beatitudes. In Luke, who had an eye for the poor, those literally hungering and thirsting are pronounced blessed, or blessed, as we say, for they shall be filled. In Matthew, those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those wanting goodness and justice to prevail, are likewise assured of their satisfaction. In John's story today, the promise of satisfaction actually becomes an invitation to the woman, to each of us, to let ourselves love and be loved. May our thirst be satisfied, as promised, when we care more about the needs of others than we do about our own appetites. But perhaps the even more profound quenching of spiritual thirst lies in this woman's willingness to pretend nothing. He told me everything there was to know about me, to pretend nothing and receive everything in the face of God's love for her. Deepak Chopra, the spirituality guru, who is often a guest on Oprah's show, so I guess that makes him pretty good, has written in his latest book, What Are You Hungry For?, that we in our society often look to food to fill our deepest needs, which is really an exercise in futility. It is as if we think we need to eat something, when often what we need is to believe something. We need, says Chopra, to feel safe and secure, nurtured, loved, and appreciated. We need to feel that life is relevant and meaningful. In these next 4 weeks, before we again celebrate the Easter miracle, take 5 minutes. If that's all you have, take 5 minutes and simply remember that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Lent is the time to renew our dedication to follow Jesus, indeed, but Lent is also the time to stop darting from food to food, project to project, person to person, activity to activity, and simply to let God come to us where we are and love us as we are, that we may never be thirsty again. Thirsty for meaning, at least. Thanks be to God. Amen. If I've said this once in this place, I've said it 10,000 times, but we're about to sing one of the great